This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hello, Mark. This is the Count. You showed my house last week, but you forgot to shut the curtain. I suffered a mild burn. Are you going to bring me an offer? Call me after sunset.
The Count. You can think of something else for the Count to call in on. Something about a lot of houses with sunset views. We're going to talk about a house that time forgot. Is that a good title? A house that time forgot? Right before the program, Rich was lamenting the words ain't and got. And that's an expression I was thinking about, the house that time forgot. What does that mean to you? What is that going to be a story about, a house that time forgot? So second segment, we're going to interview Max Thompson, who you've never heard of, but I was named after my Uncle Max, and that's why I'm interviewing Max Thompson. He is a CEO, he's a principal broker of 11 Coldwell Banker offices based out of South Ogden, Utah. So we're going to hear a little bit about real estate and what's going out in Utah, and the poor Utah Jazz getting pummeled by the San Antonio Spurs. We'll give him a hard time about that. The House of Time Forgot, Motoring with Mark. We're going to have a little trivia question, try to give away a pizza to my favorite pizza in town, Nikki D's. Nikki D's on De La Vina. Wonder if that's what the D stands for. And perhaps a story about reconveyance. So what do these numbers mean to you? 40, 39, 30, 30, 30, 35, 32. You find that funny? No, there's nothing to do with a woman's measurements. These are the numbers of pending sales for the last 7 weeks. And 40 is this past week. 40, 39, 30, 30, 30, 35, 32. Unbelievable. Let's start off with some year-to-date sales. Year-to-date sales, the first 18 weeks of the year 2012, 342 single-family sales from Carp to Goleta, South Coast, through MLS only, single-family residences only. First 18 weeks of the year ending May 4th. 342 sales, that represents a 34% increase in the number of sales, same period of time in 2011. In 2010, still an increase. 2009, still an increase. 2008, still an increase. 342 sales. Last year, 245 in 2011. 2012, 342 sales. 2010, 273. 2009, 219. 2008, 264. So there you are, 342. Now, the median price, $785,000. Last year it was $810,000. So more houses selling in the lower end, more houses selling under $785,000 than $810,000 last year. Okay. But out of the 87 sales, the increase, I should have actually looked at how many were above, say, 900,000 or a million. I looked at what's above 1.3 million and only an increase of 7 in the number of sales compared to last year, over 1.3 million. So out of the 87, only 7 were above 1.3 million. Would have been interesting to know how many were above a million or 900,000, but over 1.6 million. There were 3 more sales this year than last year. So, not going down, going up slightly. Overall, 19 sales per week the first 18 weeks of the year, compared to 2011, just a tick over 14 sales. So, 5 more sales per week for the first 18 weeks of the year. Carp to Goleta, single-family residence only, just through the multiple listing service. 5 more sales per week. 5 more sellers who might have turned around and bought up in Santa Barbara, maybe trading up or trading down. Be interesting to know. Five more sales, two agents per sale. That's 10 agents every week had a sale. Five more home inspections, five more title companies, five more loans. Not really. A lot of cash deals, so I don't know where that lands. So that's a year-to-date stat you might find interesting. If not, we've got something else for you. How about the house that time forgot? Now, what does that mean to you? The house that time forgot. What am I going to say?
Well-preserved.
Well-preserved. The house that time forgot. This is a house listed in Los Angeles, and it was built in 1925. I grew up in an apartment building built in 1925, so I know that era. I love that era. I was in New York. This is in Los Angeles. Dick Clark grew up in an apartment in Mount Vernon, New York, where I grew up.
In
1925. He just died. How old was he? So, and his I Google mapped where he grew up in Mount Vernon, and it was a lot nicer than the apartment I grew up in. I lived on the third floor of a four-story walk-up, no elevator. Back then, the law was if you had five stories, you had to install an elevator. So we got in good shape. Then going down to the basement was really four stories because you had to park your car and come up the basement. But we had a dumbwaiter, and this house had a dumbwaiter. The house that time forgot. Maybe there was no clocks in this house. It's up. Now, here's the cool thing about this house. It's up for sale for the first time since it was built in 1925. It was built for the original owners, and the elegantly understated house. Well, you start off with that, you know, something simple about it. Still, $5.5 million. It doesn't ooze wealth as much as good taste and a 1920s practicality. I love words, don't you? What is doesn't ooze wealth? So that means it looks like garbage. No. I'll tell you why it said it was actually well phrased. It's a good article. 7 years was the average amount of time for homeowners to hold on to a house before selling it last year, according to the California Association of Realtors. 7 years, the average time to hold on to a house. That was up from 5 years before the housing downturn. So 2011, the average amount of time for a homeowner to hold on to a house, 7 years. This person held on since 1925. Nationwide, slightly more than 15% of owners have been in their houses at least 30 years. I love when you meet old people in their house. They go, oh, yeah, I'm going to sell this house. Take me out feet first. Old people like talking about death. They're unafraid. A California bungalow built in 1912 came on the multiple listing service in January for the first time, but that had been reworked and updated over the years. So this house in Beverly Hills is a rarity about how much the home is unchanged. I love it. 4,748 square feet. That's a big house for 1925. It was built for Frank Winter and his wife Florence, and it remained the home of their daughter Frances until her death late last year at age 101 at the end of 2011. She lived there. Wow. That's amazing. So clearly she wasn't born there because she was 101. So she was born in 1910. So she moved there when she was 15. Okay, I can add. Several shelves exist, converted to a catalog system for phonographic records, still contains 78s. Which at the time the house was built, 78 RPM was becoming the standard rotation for records. And on the floor in the dining room, near the head of the table, is a foot button hidden beneath the carpet that, when pressed, buzzes loudly in the kitchen, signaling the help that it's time for the next course or for plates to be cleared. Another floor buzzer is in the morning room where the family would take breakfast. Both of these buzzers still work. but no one has come in 85 years. She keeps pressing the button, and she doesn't know that she does not have a cook anymore. It's very sad. This is a sensible kitchen of owners who needn't spend much time, if any, in the room. Hired help prepare the meals, clean up. A dumbwaiter carries trays of food to the bedrooms and office on the second floor. There's the dumbwaiter. So we lived on the third floor, so the basement made it four floors, and we would go shopping and walk from way in the back parking lot, walk through the basement, go to the dumbwaiter, load our groceries in, and had this big, you know, inch rope, and the pulley system made it real light, and poosh, right up to the dumbwaiter. Then every morning around 7:30, the dumbwaiter bell would ring. We had our own bell for the dumbwaiter, and it was this awful, and it was the porter, one of the groundskeeper people, or the whatever we called him, was pushing a large container to take our trash. So he would pull up, and he would get it pretty close, you know, without the light on. You'd have to open the door. Sometimes it wasn't right there. And he would buzz, and you'd put your garbage in. It's pretty cool. Very unusual. They did it because I don't know why they didn't use garbage chutes, which is what really I saw when growing up. Most people just went into the hall and had a garbage chute when you're up on your top floor and you just went down into the trash. Anyway, you don't see too many in older homes like this in Santa Barbara. Occasionally you do. You got an old stove, you know, the matching salt and pepper shakers, and a timer. Doesn't say it has a clock. Timer still works. A mirror hangs above the kitchen sink. Why would that be? Odd placement to modern eyes, but practical back in the day. Housekeeper, she always had to see what's going on behind. She had to keep an eye on the door to the dining room at all times, see if someone was coming in or out. They have the transom windows above the doors of the kitchen, off the kitchen, that open to a back room used for deliveries and laundry ironing, so it's a natural airflow. And the back staircase leads to a staff bedroom with bathroom. I love back staircases. If I have time, oh my God, we don't have time in this segment. I got motoring with Mark. I saw a couple of old homes in Santa Barbara last week that really showcase some of this vintage architecture. Okay, living room feature, high-end homes, copper window screens that roll up when not in use. Now, I was in one house only where I saw windows and screens that rolled up like pocket doors that roll up when not in use. That's kind of rare. California basement, just large enough for a furnace water heater. Six gravity-style heaters rely on just that flow, no forced air gas. Second floor window seat, a wall nook for the telephone, and the back of the phone box is accessible from the sleeping porch. And at the time, it was the height of luxury to be able to take a call outside on the balcony. Another phone nook in the kitchen. And let's see, intercom system was simply a long pipe running from a mouthpiece to the master bedroom to the kitchen, and the caller pressed a buzzer and then yelled into the tube for morning coffee. No swimming pool, tennis court. It was designed by prolific architect Ray Kiefer. And that's the house that time forgot. This is Radio Real Estate, the radio program that the audience forgot. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Max Thompson, CEO, principal broker out of 11 offices, Coldwell Banker offices in South Ogden, Utah. We'll find out what's going on there. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.